Amy Rimikas, political reporter for The Guardian, is our political commentator this morning. Hello, Amy.
Good morning.
To Lee, for all intents and purposes, really certainly the face of modern Australia, certainly the face of Fowler, educated, young, multicultural, wants to represent a community. Christina Keneally is still likely to win Fowler. It's been a safe Labor seat for a long, long time. But To Lee clearly thinks there's been significant brand damage done to Labor there. And yeah, perhaps to Christina Keneally herself?
I don't know if so much for Christina Keneally, because there has been a pretty big distinction that this isn't just about Christina Keneally, and there is agreement across the board with Labor that she's a good parliamentary performer. But absolutely there has been damage over Labor's diversity claims and whether or not it is actually walking the walk when it comes to this, because as you've pointed out, it is not the first time that somebody has been parachuted into a safe seat to win, but it is often coming at the expense of somebody local and somebody who represents those communities. And I think this has been the real flashpoint where people are just kind of going, what are we doing enough?
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt about Christina Keneally's qualifications to win a seat in the lower house. She's a senior experienced politician. And so it's she's been sort of caught up in this debate really, which is actually about commitment of all major parties to diversity.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like when you look at the population of Australia, I was having a brief look yesterday, about 20% of Australians are non-Indigenous people of colour. When you look at the parliament, that same group makes up about 4% of the parliament. There is failure across the board for Australia to really adapt to what its communities looks like. And we often talk about being the most successful multicultural nation in the world, but we have an overrepresentation of white Europeans and Anglos within the parliament, and we're not really seeing much of that groundswell work from the political parties to try and correct that so people can actually see themselves in the chambers.
On COVID, the debates turned to vaccine passports. The British government has just abandoned plans, its own plans for vaccine passports. It's going to rely instead on vaccination and testing numbers. Do you think that move is likely to fuel more opposition to vaccination passports in this country? There are some significant pockets of it.
I think because we're at the moment, we're still very far behind in terms of where the UK and Europe and the US is on this thing. I don't think it's going to have much of an impact now. I do see us heading down this track, say, in another 4-6 months' time when, you know, we are living two different types of lives. I do start to think there'll be a bit of a push there. It does look like we're going to get to 70%. Hopefully we do all get to 80%. I think once you get past 80%, that's when it's going to get a lot harder in terms of vaccinated eligible population. And then that's when we're going to start having these conversations over who gets to do what.
Okay, Amy, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Amy Rimikas is political reporter with The Guardian, and The Guardian has a poll today that shows a clear majority of people support vaccinations as a condition of entry to sporting events, hospitality and entertainment venues. But as many of you are telling me, not all of you agree with that. And we spoke to Professor Julie Leese yesterday, her study, which suggests that if you kept this in place permanently, it would create an underclass.